Sorry, I've got the Man of Steel theme music stuck in my head.
What are we doing?
I've come round and I wanted to watch Waterworld, and you said, well, let's put it on and chat about it whilst we're watching it.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
I did, just making sure the levels are alright. Universal logo's just come up. Look at this. It's a big world.
Yeah.
And look what they're going to do with the logo.
Oh my god.
They're making the land
disappear. Oh my good lord. That's almost like a water world.
Yeah.
I call it.
One of the earliest examples of the film logo being integrated into the film. Uh-huh. Can you think of other examples?
Well, this is... Look, the sound's still up. Oh. You're crazy. Do not tell anyone.
That was for copyright.
This is one of the earliest examples, did you say?
I mean, it's from my memory.
I can't think of a single other example, and I really wish I could, because I really love it when that happens.
I saw Waterworld at the cinema when I was but a lad.
Yeah?
I think I saw it with my mum.
What was it, 1994, was it?
Yes.
Something like that.
We haven't done our research because we've just decided to watch this
movie. Yeah, this is very much on a whim, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a whim. They've got Matt, obviously, lambasted on release. Costner's ego ballooned.
Yeah, tell the viewers.
Everyone was hoping that he would fail.
Well, there was a big hoo-ha about the production. I think I remember reading at the time in film magazines and stuff. It's like, yeah. Oh, this is, you know, the most expensive film ever made or something at the time.
He just come off the back of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, same director.
That's libelous.
He was just same director.
There he is, purifying his piss. That's a nice way.
Metal squeaking
stuff. Kevin.
Kevin.
Contraption hissing and clanging. These subtitles are amazing. That's like the science for the film. Done. How does that work? It squeaked and the contraption.
He made water, so he's making water out of his piss. Kevin Reynolds. So they were obviously coming off a big hit.
Yeah. You just said Kevin Reynolds.
Kevin Reynolds is the director.
Right.
Of Robin Hood and also this. So they'd obviously worked well together, and they were pumped for this movie, but it all kind of went tits up. You know, films shot on water invariably are,
evidently.
You know, whatchamacallit?
Doomed.
Doomed. They're at the lap of the gods, of the kind of the nature gods.
Uh-huh.
You know, Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Raining.
Well,
sets were lost.
Well,
tempers
yeah, but
frayed.
That's again, you know, just now you watch old Life of Pi, it's not a problem. So you just CGI.
Yeah.
CGIC.
So why did you want to watch this?
I just sort of remembered it and I thought, well, that'd be interesting. I wonder how I'd feel about it now, because I never had the venom for this film that everyone else seems to have. I never really understood what's so bad about it. I mean, compared to a lot of the blockbusters of the time as well, I mean, it sort of does what the rest of them did for me.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, Look, it's like it's really nicely. I mean,
it's sort of it's dirty and, you know, post-apocalyptic, but in quite a cool way. And it's, you know,
I guess the knives are out for you, and the knives are out for Costner, because people were thinking he took himself seriously. He's cast himself as the hero, and he's the guy that's going to save the day. And you know, people think that's laughable, I suppose.
Why? Why shouldn't he be the hero?
Well, no, yeah, I don't know.
Because he's not Tommy Cruise.
Yeah, it's weird that. We were just having a chat in the office today about old Costner, and he's obviously in the Man of Steel, and he's playing Superman's, not biological father, but...
adopted father.
Pa Kent.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been about for a while.
And I was really surprised when they cast him, because in a way, he is the most obvious person in the world to play Pa Kent, is the character as I know him from the comics, and it's like in Smallville, I forget the name of the actor who portrayed him, but it's very much
he's the guy from the older I've got to keep saying it's the older you know, the that telly show, the 70s, Bo and Luke.
I don't know what that is.
They were the characters. They're the good old boys.
Okay.
Never made a know-how.
That was before I was born. You're, of course, much older than I am. You remember these things. I don't. But
The Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, right. Okay, cool.
He's from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Ah, well, there you go. It's sort of kind of, but anyway, yeah, Kevin Costner, very, you know, he's the obvious person to play that role. And I was really surprised when they cast him. And then having seen just obviously mere seconds of him in the three trailers that we've had for that film, he looks really good in it. And it reminds you that, yeah, Kevin Costner, he's a good actor. He's done some good stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah, 13 Days.
Not seen it.
What, about the Cuban Missile Crisis?
That right. Came, oh, yes, yes.
Last episode. Yep. What else has he been good in?
I mean, he was good in Robin Hood, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't very convincing as a Robin Hood, but, you know.
Yeah.
What do you want? Do you want a remake with Russell Crowe? Would that make you happy?
I'd love that. That sounds excellent. Who could we direct it, though? Someone exciting and not shit.
Well, maybe Kevin Costner.
JFK, I always thought he was excellent in that. And I really liked his early thrillers he was in. There's a great film he's in called No Way Out.
Yes.
Which is a remake, actually, of a film called The Big Clock.
Oh, I didn't know it was a remake.
It's this really kind of creaky black and white film from the 30s or 40s. And you know, well, it's good. It's got, yeah, it's good. The original is good. It's got Charles Laughton in.
Ah, yes.
No Way Out is excellent. Very saucy and steamy. I think Sean Young in it. I think he has sex with Sean Young.
Well,
and then
she was
she
in everything.
Hey? He was in everything.
Hey, stop it.
We'll
cut that bit out. We had to go. No, I think it's Field of Dreams as well.
Never
seen
it.
Turn.
Never seen it.
Yeah, it's good. It's obviously the stupidest concept for a film ever, but he, you buy into the character because I think he's very good at being earnest, and I don't think that's a very easy thing to pull off. For example, Nicolas Cage can't do it.
Ernest goes to Waterworld.
Exactly. Let me ask you this. Why is everyone in the future dressed like a really weird New York tramp douche homoerotic psychopath?
It's weird. People just can't get how we'll dress in the future. I mean, it's either Logan's Run, where everyone's wearing a jumpsuit, or it's like... it's kind of rags, kind of new age rags.
Yeah, but they're really like tight fitting, and he's got like a choker and loads of earrings. And like, why has he done his hair all up like that?
Yeah, it's
like, why would you bother? It's like, oh, now there's no society. I can dress like some sort of gay elf.
Come on now, let's not use gay as a derogatory term.
Okay, sorry, that's not. You misheard me, and I'm not going to repeat what I said. liked it in The Road, though. That was brilliant, the costumes and that.
Yeah, because I
loved it.
That's because it looked like clothes. They were ill-fitting, they were baggy.
It was horrible to look at, and everything was dirty and sort of rotting off. What you want.
Yeah, again, this looks like everything has been production designed within an inch of its life. It looks dirty, but there's no way it feels dirty.
Yeah.
And I think that might sound laughable. Do you know what I mean?
Does that remind you of?
What?
Nothing.
Oh, right. Looks dirty with... yeah. Sex.
No. Come on. Come on. Look at him eating a biscuit as he sails on. It is a bit cheesy. It's very cheesy.
Yeah. It's very considered. They've created this obvious world that this is what the future looks like. And then, yeah, he's the outsider. He's the best. He's a great sailor. Where he's got this catamaran, and then the baddies are called smokers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, is this a environmental parable or something?
I think, yeah, it was probably around the time that people started taking notice of the idea of global warming.
Of course, which is made up by lefties.
Exactly,
like you and me.
Bloody liberals. I guess, yeah, a studio executive was Curtis in Hindi.
I spotted that.
I hope no Hindi people are listening to this.
The baddie who stole someone's limes cursed in Hindi.
See, you even get Arabic style terrorists out in the apocalyptic future saltwater world.
So we've established the character. He's a sailor, he doesn't take any shit, he's a man. He's a man alone in this crazy, alone world.
Also,
this water world.
Really, a very boring world at this point, isn't it? You're thinking, like, oh shit, I get it, there's water everywhere. And it's like, oh, how exciting can this film really get?
Well,
Adam.
Of course, you know, the MacGuffin would be, where would the land be? So I imagine at some point...
I'd imagine that there isn't any land left, Adam. I'd imagine that all the land's gone.
What? What about this mystical place you speak of?
No. What place?
There's a place
that people... Oh, that's all tattooed down Tina's back. I don't know what you mean.
Well, I mean, that's the thing in The Road. It's this apocalyptic staple that, you know, you set the world up, it's miserable, and then there's a place that you can travel
that will sort you out.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's in The Waterworld, and that's in The Road, and The Road is an excellent book and an excellent film.
Yeah.
So it's just about how you handle the material, isn't it?
I suppose so. Yeah. Well said.
But why wouldn't you just kill yourself if you lived in
this exactly world? That's the thing. It's I don't know, I mean,
constant,
it's sort
floating
of,
you'd all be seasick.
Everything's so brown as well. I don't like worlds where everything's just brown, different kinds of brown.
I really like the Simpsons episode where they're making Radioactive Man, and they've got all the baddies, and there's a lovely little reference to Waterworld.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Go on.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
It's got the same, it's the set, and there's a baddie, and a Rainier Wolf Castle is hanging upside down in one of the cages.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, also, it's in the film, in the Simpsons episode, it's about a film going over budget. So it's a delicious little reference.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, that's a great episode, obviously. Yeah, also, other than, I know Dennis Hopper is in this. He's a bad guy. That's it, isn't it, for anyone?
Jean Triplehorn.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. I mean,
she's
sort of
named
thusly that
because
much.
She gives you the triple horn.
Oh, no, she doesn't. She's serious, very serious, matriarchal sort of woman.
No, she's not. She's very attractive.
Mm.
She's good.
I always thought she was sort of motherly. Well, that's not bad.
Did you not see her in, Basic Instinct?
She's not very motherly in that.
All right, well. That was...
Speak up, Jeff, speak up!
I'm worried about what to say. No, don't watch Basic Instinct. No one's ever watched that. Certainly not Basic Instinct 2.
Kevin Costner and Michael Douglas, they've both got bagged in with the same... I think they both get treated the same way as... Men who took themselves too seriously and, you know, got kind of laughed out of Hollywood.
But then Michael Douglas never really went away, did he? And also, he's done some really interesting projects. We talked about Wonder Boys, didn't we, before?
Yeah.
That's really good. And he's now in this Liberace film, which I have no idea if that's going to be any good or not. But I really, you know, I respect him for taking on a role like that, because it's quite surprising.
So, this bit, tasting the dirt... Kevin Costner's got from the bottom of the sea.
Yeah.
He's tasting the dirt.
And why? Why is dirt so interesting?
He can grow stuff in it. But that was the bit of the trailer, I remember that.
I don't recognize that guy. Anyway. Sorry.
Yeah, there's lots of faces in this. But yeah, like you say, Hopper's the only other name actor, and he's the baddie.
I imagine he'll have some kind of facial impediment, some kind of evil manifestation
on
his
body.
If not
missing an eye, there's something wrong with an eye, but no. No holds barred on a film. With this bigger budget, we're going to take the whole eye, which is lovely stuff.
Heaven forbid we make the baddie just like a normal-looking guy. Let's give him a handicap or something.
Well, this is back when Hollywood didn't think that anyone would believe. I just want one sip of Hydro. Brilliant. Oh, look, it's him from the Breaking Bad. Uncle Hector.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is Hydro supposed to be...
And look, that's Judge Faden from Batman Begins. Ha-ha! Brilliant. It's full of loads of B-movie actors who've been in better things. All right, so cool. Yeah, these two actors from something two things I really love. Conversing. Maybe this film's brilliant, Adam. I told you.
Yeah, I mean, it made its money back. This is considered a flop, but it wasn't a flop.
Mm.
It made more, you know, made its money back, but, you know, I don't know why it seems like Hollywood likes to turn on people and then just its own, not just people, they turn on its own and they
laugh them out of town.
Oh, yeah, of course, it can happen. But also, actors, it's almost like being a sports star, isn't it, for a lot of them? They have their time and then they're done. the new crop comes in. Only the lucky ones get to hang out. And often I only do it by staying typecast. And then doing very specific kinds of roles.
Well, yeah, they need that. They
Robert
need
De Niro's. Not that he's not a wonderful actor.
Well, he's not anymore.
What?
Robert De Niro's not a wonderful actor anymore.
Well, he's pretty good. He got best Supporting Actor nomination for Silver Linings Playbook in the Oscars.
Because of who he was.
Yeah.
Another guy, Joe Schmo had played that. Ben Gazzara had played that. A la Buffalo 66.
Yeah.
No one would have given a fuck.
Yeah.
Let's give a little round of applause for Robert De Niro. He hasn't been in something shit. I mean, that's just offensive.
He was pretty good, isn't
it? Oh, sure. No, not
he
at
is
all.
A good actor. How dare you?
Now, who's popped up on screen?
Tina Fiorentina. What's her surname?
Margarina.
Tina Margarina.
Where'd you know her from?
Napoleon Dynamite. That's where I know her from. The role she was born to play.
She's got a tattoo on her back.
I don't like the way that guy was looking at her.
He was looking at it sexually, but I think it's more like, oh, this is the... It's a map to where the
I know what it is.
Well, listeners who haven't seen Waterworld.
Yeah, and want it ruined for them.
A little girl with a map on her back. I mean, is that a birthmark? Who wrote this fucking story?
Well, they explain that, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who says it?
It's her parents basically tattooed her and then put her on a boat for some reason.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Birthmark.
Well, you could, yeah. It could be like a sort of, you know, God returning to man in this darkest hour and giving them a child who's magically got, I don't know. I don't know, it's not my idea, ask Kevin.
Answer for the film's failings. Do you imagine
that doesn't bother me too much.
Do you imagine that Gene Triplehorn will get a triple horn for this gruff outsider played by Kevin Costner?
Well, he's not being very nice to her, and as Hollywood tells us, girls love men being horrible to them, so time will tell, won't it? Yeah, I was just wondering though, with all the lack of, like, you know...
Nothing's happened.
...anyone acting in it.
Yeah.
Where did the budget just go on the set?
Yeah,
because of course there's no CGI whatsoever at this point.
No,
across the board.
I mean, we should be lauding this film because there's no CGI in it, but they've spent all the money on these rubbish costumes. I mean, now he's being offered up to have sex with a girl.
Wasn't she trying to sell her?
Yeah, he's like, oh,
yeah, not for sex. Not all about sex.
No, but for spread your good seed.
Oh, okay. Very ethnic looking people, aren't they?
It's a very strange film. Nothing's happening. Nothing at all of any interest.
I guess it's really hard for them to set up their world because there isn't. Alright, they built this floating city, but you can't really believably get away with having too much of that, so it really is just, it's not very big, is it, that set? And it's not very interesting.
But that's the thing, they've spent loads of money on it. That guy who's...
He's got gills behind his ears. Did they ever explain that?
It's a genetic mutation. I mean, that's how...
He's a mutant.
That's how... You know, that's how evolution works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The world goes water, we get girls behind our
exactly.
ears. I mean, that is what happened, Jeff.
Well,
stop questioning it.
It can only be like 60 to 100 years from now.
Exactly, but then why would they...
instantly.
Why do they want to kill him? Because he's got gills.
They obviously don't trust the muties, so it's sort of going into X-Men kind of territory here. Although... That isn't really what the film's about. Like, that mutation doesn't end up being important, does it?
No, I mean, it helps him swim underwater and stuff.
Yeah,
but
does it help him go down to see the world that used to be? Which is, like, totally the best bit of this film. No, because he brings her down.
I mean...
With a little bottle that she breathes out of. Which, again, seems fairly dubious. That's a really good bit, though. I'm looking forward to that.
I mean, is this about racial intolerance? Because, again, yeah, it's like this slows the film down and nothing's happening. They're just... And it will be left when, you know, the baddies come and they ask Kevin Costner to fucking get the girl back or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, this is a 2-hour film.
Yeah, no, and I'm just wondering... We're not going to do the whole thing, by the way, listeners. I'm just wondering what...
This is just Waterworld chat.
Yeah, Waterworld chat. Yeah, no one said the word commentary, you dingus. I'm just wondering what happens. I'm trying to remember it now. Why is this film that long?
Well, there's a whole bit where he realises that he shouldn't be a loner anymore. He comes to love and care for a child.
But he doesn't have any
Jim
choice. They're thrust upon him, aren't they?
Well, that's the whole... That's it. That's the essence of the lone man. The weaklings get thrust upon him, and taking them into his care, he learns something about himself. He learns that he's not the only person in the world, and he cares. And he beats the baddie. Spoiler alert! It's textbook, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, no, I don't guess so. I totally agree with that. It's just a bit.
It's a bit. I mean, it's a bit generic.
Well, they're not really building anything. That's a sort of emotionally or relationship wise at the moment. Everyone's just kind of being a dick to everyone else, and it's a bit tedious.
Yeah, I mean, they're dressed rubbishly. The set they've obviously spent millions and millions of pounds on, but is actually rubbish. By today's standards. That guy's from
Fisher King.
What's that?
Have you not seen The Fisher King?
I don't think so.
Terry Gilliam directed, Jeff Bridges, Robin Williams.
I've never heard of that. That sounds very interesting.
Oh, it's a good film.
Yeah.
That was the one. That was the film that Gilliam did for the studios to kind of not curry favour, but to kind of get some
reassure them.
Yeah, to get an even keel on his career, because he'd kind of angered them with Brazil and did The Business. Like it wasn't planned on doing The Business, but it kind of was very critically acclaimed and stuff.
What year did it come out?
Oh, mid-90s.
So pre 12 Monkeys, or?
Oh yeah, it's pre 12 Monkeys.
Right, nice.
And it's it's good. It's a nice little picture. Jeff Bridges is excellent in it. It goes on a bit too long. There's a bit in the film where it could just cut off, but Gilliam doesn't know where to end it. But it's got all the stuff about. It's got lots of stuff about knights and not fables, you know, kind of legends. Like Robin Williams plays this nutty homeless guy who's obsessed with the Holy Grail, and he kind of Jeff Bridges plays this kind of annoying, down on his luck ex shock jock DJ. I can't believe I'm saying these words. It sounds mental in my head.
Yeah, it does. No, you're just making this up.
No, it's a film.
First.
Again, it's a film that everyone did really well, and no one really talks about it anymore.
Yeah,
it's not brilliant, but it's good. It's got some really good stuff in
it. Well, I remember, you know, we always talk about Terry Gilliam, but when you remember the good things that he's done, you're like, this guy needs some love. But then I'm sort of getting a bit tired of him.
He's got one chance. He's making a film.
Oh, was he
one
making?
Chance.
Have we talked about this before?
No, we haven't. I can't remember what it's called, but he's filming something.
It's actually being made.
Cool.
It hasn't crumbled to dust like all his other films.
Oh, don't laugh at that. That's not his fault.
He can do what he wants. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is an absolute fucking masterpiece.
Yes. Really good. So. Really, really good.
But yeah, anyway, this guy who's chatting to Kevin Costner here, he pops up as another crazy person in Fisher King.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Seen Where the Buffalo Roam?
Oh, I haven't.
Peter. Yeah, you've never seen it.
Is it good?
Really good. And it's, what's his face? Bill Murray, isn't it?
Yeah, Bill Murray. Tell the listeners that's apropos.
The original Hunter S. Thompson film based on another one of his books. I don't remember what it's called. It may even have the same title.
I thought it was based on the same kind of Fear and Loathing.
It's a similar story, but it's got its own thing. Much in the way that Rum Diary as well. It's, you know, it's similar, but it's not the same.
And Peter Boyle plays the lawyer character.
And so very different take on it. But that's really, really good. And actually, Bill Murray's he's amazing. He's the same guy. He's exactly the same guy. He even looks like you can't tell him apart. So that's really cool. I definitely recommend that. That's a must-see. I'll give that four hot, wet kisses.
I liked the Rum Diaries.
I really liked. We saw that together, didn't we?
Yeah, I chatted to Terry Gilliam, and this is not a lie.
Oh.
I won a competition, which meant I could chat to get Terry Gilliam, and you got to ask him questions.
What kind of competition is that?
It was for The Guardian, and you had to make a picture
like a collage from one of his scenes, one of his films, and I did The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, even though it wasn't finished. Me and my friend Richard, who you know.
Richard Young?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We made a lovely bit of artwork.
Yeah. Can we see that? If you go to our blog, perhaps?
Yeah, I'll pop that. I'll tweet that.
It's outofthecanon.tumblr.com. that'll be on our blog. Check it out.
And we got to see a screening at The Guardian of a short film we'd made called The Holy Family.
That's quite a distinction there.
Yeah. Well, it was the money came from a pasta sauce company from Italy.
I'm not going to name which sauce company.
I don't know. It's not Dolmio.
Okay.
It's not that
That's why.
But it was perfectly. It was a good film. It wasn't good. It was okay. There was some really nice visual stuff in it. Anyway, afterwards, I was just like getting to meet one of my heroes. So I sort of, you know, when you're at a Q&A and all the queues have dried up, so I kind of...
I've never done such prestigious things in my life.
I gingerly put my hand up and said, what did you think of The Rum Diary? And he sort of laughed and said, you don't want to know.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus. Get over yourself, Gillian.
I chatted to him about it afterwards. He doesn't want to know. He doesn't want to say because... He's good friends with Bruce Robinson and Johnny Depp, but he's not, you know, he didn't think it was a good film. I know.
Well, why is,
I mean, that's not important. That shouldn't reflect on
why
it.
Why is he the expert?
He's not.
Microphone tumblage.
He's not going to, he didn't badmouth it in public, and he wasn't going to, this is possibly rude of me to even, I mean, who the fuck listens to this anyway?
He said what he said. Count these things. That was in a public arena. Yeah.
No, he was very.
In fact, he didn't say anything. Did he?
He didn't say anything. All he said was, "You don't want to know what I know. What I know. What I think." Mm-hmm. Which is fine. And I was.
Yeah, Johnny Depp's been dead for years.
Yeah.
He's just a puppet in a suit.
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact that I was, you know, Johnny Depp has become a massive joke. So I was surprised he held his tongue.
Me too. We went to see that. I was. It totally reminded me of like the good things about Mr. Deppy Depp.
Dennis Hopper is arrived.
There he is. Oh look, he has got both eyes.
Oh, he gets it later. Maybe
Does he
gets it now.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp, Crybaby.
What?
Who's good in that?
Oh yes, was that his first film?
One of his early films.
Very strange film, but you know, worth watching if you haven't seen that. A cult film. One to watch maybe with friends. You know, one of those films that in the room for the friends, you just sort of stick it on and comment on how strange it is.
About half an hour in.
Yeah.
And the first gunfire is occurring. So this is action.
Yeah.
It's
very strange.
Have you seen In the Nick of Time?
No.
That's good. Christopher Walken plays the baddie, and Johnny Depp, this is in the dead decade of Depp, where he wasn't getting any good work. And it plays out in real time. Christopher Walken takes his kid hostage and sort of says to Johnny Depp, "You've got to kill this politician, otherwise I'm going to kill your kid."
Nice.
And you've got to decide in half an hour.
Blimey.
So
then you have real time.
It's played out in real time.
Lovely.
Almost
a precursor to 24.
Indeed. It doesn't quite work, but, you know, interesting. Depp's always been an innovator.
Absolutely.
Why are these guys water skiing?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
Where do they get the water skis from?
Well,
and there's a ramp! That's purpose built.
Yeah.
So the baddies are besieging the...
Can you ski up a ramp?
Yeah, I think you can. This is kind of like castle, and the baddies are coming over the walls.
Oh, jet skis.
Gunfire.
Is that just dated really badly? Like, would this have seemed kind of cool at the time? Like, water skis and jet skis? Because now it just looks like the cheesiest, dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's... But then that's the thing, the people that said this film was shit, the grown-ups, and they were saying that, they were right, and I would go, you're being very snooty about it, but, you know, there were obviously people whose
spotted this for the generic bullshit it is.
But then how is this different from Top Gun or something?
Top Gun's got some real pep and fun about it. There's like some real...
Alright, fair enough.
And it's not all
that's
action.
True, that is true.
Yeah, it's not all action. You know, they've got some nice characterisation. I mean, what's Kevin Costner's character in this?
Gilman.
Yeah.
Gilman.
Well, it's funny, just then when they were going to lower him into the pit of yellow slurry, they were like, yeah, we're going to have to recycle him in the customary way. He's too strange for this world. But that was a really funny thing to say. Imagine that, if you were being killed. It's like, please don't drown me. And they're like, he's too strange for this world.
This world.
You're getting me because I'm weird.
Yeah, because this
is not fair. Not because you're afraid of me or you hate me, just because you think I'm strange.
Yeah, like, again, what kind of... It's just lazy script writing.
But also, he's not strange for a world in which it's water world.
He'd be the messiah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, fuck all our daughters. Yeah. Give us your spunk.
Yeah.
But no.
Which would have been really interesting.
Well, they've just probably... he needs to be in this moment of peril. He's trapped in a fucking cage and he needs to escape it.
And they have to tell you that he's... what was it? Piscatorius Sapien, that scientist called him.
Oh, Christ.
And then just in case people didn't understand, he said, that means you can breathe underwater.
Oh,
I love exposition.
That's my favourite bit of most appalling exposition.
It's the bloody Wizard of Oz, this bit.
No, let me tell you what my favourite bit of worst exposition is. It's from Mission Impossible 2, the most shittiest entry to any series. Anthony Hopkins is in it.
Oh, yes.
And...
Is he the bad guy?
I think he's... No, he's the good guy. He plays the guy who gives...
He's the godfather.
He gives the mission away. And he says... I think he says to Tom... Oh, yeah. He says to Thandi Newton, the thief. He says, I'll do this job and your record will be expunged.
Right.
And then... It jump cuts close to him and says, wiped out. Yes, that's what expunged means. Why would you...
And that's a good thing.
And by the way, what I'm saying is...
That's good for you. You're going to love it when that happens.
And it's just like, why did you have the guy say the clever word if you were then going to have him explain?
Yeah.
And it just looked like a Hollywood exec just kind of took John Woo to one side and said, John, I'm loving the work. Problem with the old expunge line. I'm worried that Joe Schmo in Middle America won't know what expunge means. Can we get another shot where he just says wiped away or something?
Yeah, and it's like, all right, in the end they had to just agree to both. Like, all right, you have your word and I'll have mine. Amazing.
It just looks... And yeah, it drives me nuts. So this is like Kevin Costner, super fast swimmer.
Wee. Well, see, that was quite snappy what just happened then, because he was drowning in a cage. Jeannie Triplehorn set him free. Well, before she set him free, she said, if I let you go, you're taking us with you. And he just said, sure. I quite like that. That's quite snappy. And that sets everything up perfectly.
That bit where he's kind of swimming underwater like a fish and he jumps out of the water. That's lovely stuff. And
it's still very cheesy, but fine.
I went to the swimming pool afterwards, I tried to do it. So. That makes me sad. I don't care.
I, in a weird way, would quite like to see you doing that for some reason. I don't know what that means. I mean...
So, yeah, go back to Depp. Tell me...
Sorry.
So you were saying when you remembered Depp was good.
Yes.
When were those memories?
Well, when we were watching... about to say the Hunger Games. God, I'm tired. The Run Diary.
Yeah.
That was what made me remember. Yeah.
Yeah, this guy.
But it's for so long. He's been either... You watch him as Captain Jack Sparrow for like the 50th time and go, yeah, he is quite good in that role, but I'm bored. Or he's in a Tim Burton film that no one should ever have to watch. I mean, take your pick. It never ends. It never ends.
I know, it's weird, but it'd be like... It's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good band with a really shit song and then just all their fans going, play that shit song again. Again. Do it again.
It's not what the fans want, is it?
Well, that's what...
He's
they want him to play Jack Sparrow.
Going on.
Oh,
well,
isn't
right,
he good, eh?
Right.
Isn't he funny? Oh, he's a rogue and he's acts drunk and it's like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then, have you seen the trailer for The Lone Ranger?
No, I purposely didn't for this very reason. I saw that it was out and I thought, no, No. I'm not going to watch Leave Me Alone. I've had enough.
It's flat out racist.
Oh,
it's,
really? It's like me red face, you pale face.
How? He talks in that kind of pigeon English sort of thing.
Right. So the roles are reversed from Dead Man.
Yeah.
In which he was wonderful, by the way. That's a great film.
Jim Jarmusch?
Yeah. With, what's he called? Not Johnny Lee Miller. Billy Bob Thornton.
Is he in that?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's the guy chasing him down.
Lots of explosions. Not in this.
Yeah, no explosions in that.
I don't, like, the thing is that I've heard that they've kind of recast Tonto as he's the kind of the active agent of the Lone Ranger.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I know.
Or does it?
Well, here's the
crazy
thing,
enough, it could work.
Well, why bother? Why try and create? Why make us? Why do a story which is very problematic, where the sidekick was a Native American and people have lots of issues with that?
Yeah.
Why then try and redo it and then kind of go, well, we're going to sort out all the problems you have? Because I mean, it's artistically, you're not doing it for it. You're doing it to make money. It's not going to make sense artistically. I don't know. What is it for?
Well, they're trying to think of any idea of anything they can do now in Hollywood, and that just feels like part of it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just think there's no point in actually doing something like that unless you're going to have an interesting spin on it. And all right, making Tonto some sort of more, making his character more active in it, maybe something slightly unusual, but well, I don't know. Make it a historical piece. You know?
We'll make it about
have
the
it set in the Civil War or something.
Well, it's set in the West.
Django Unchained, kind of.
Well, yeah, it's set in the West, and it's you know, they could make it about the rape of the Native Americans.
Yeah, I'd really like
it's a
that.
Disney film for kids.
Oh, is it? It's
not
a kids film?
Yeah.
Oh, right. And well, yeah, well, fine. Well, kids will watch any old nonsense, though.
It's cowboys and Indians, but, well, it's not, I mean...
Well, kids don't like that anymore. They've got, like, 3 Marvel superhero movies a year now. Kids can watch that. And all the Pixar shit, Cars 2.
I kind of hope it's a massive failure, but then I do kind of like the director, Gore Verbinski, because he directed...
Oh, yeah, he's done some good
Mouse
stuff.
Mouse Hunt.
Yeah.
Which you still haven't seen.
I know, I will.
I've insisted
I will.
You see it.
I know. Well, we wanted to do that podcast where you watch films that I think are good and no one else does, and vice versa.
Yeah, so I've got Antichrist and you've got Mouse Hunt. Months later, neither of us done
it.
Done
that's really unfair. It's like... well, yeah, A, you should have seen Antichrist already, and B, Antichrist is like a really beautifully crafted work of art by an acclaimed director with brilliant actors in it.
I like Lars von Trier.
You know, even if you don't like the film, it's got that.
Yeah.
Mousetrap.
Mouse Hunt.
Sorry.
Mouse Hunt's got Nathan Lane and Lee Evans.
Yeah, Lee Evans. Although, actually, he's very good in Something About Mary.
Well, right, times out by 1,000 for Mouse Hunt. He's
but,
fucking,
you know,
brilliant.
That was a Farrelly Brothers film. They're always brilliant.
No, Mouse Hunt is fucking excellent. It's so funny. Christopher Walken cameo.
Hey!
I mean, really?
I want you to get this fucking mouse.
Oh, it's better than that.
Okay.
Fuck off.
I
you're doing
wait.
A disservice.
I'm sorry.
I didn't
want to... No, I'm really excited about it.
I really didn't want to see Antichrist because at the time...
I'm going to write it on my list.
It looked like a depressing load of shite.
It's very depressing.
But then
I'll give it that.
But then
it's beautiful.
Yeah, I saw Melancholia and
I
found that both funny and sad.
Yeah.
And
Melancholia's probably got a bit more pep to it, but Antichrist is... Well, I don't know. There's some stuff in it that, you know, certain things happen. There's a certain line of dialogue. Chaos reigns. If you've seen the film, you'll know what I'm talking about. A lot of people had a problem with that. I didn't. So I can understand people laughing at certain elements of it because they're kind of laughable. But I thought it was just sort of poetic and a bit fantastical. I think it's good.
I'm going to watch it.
I'll give it 5 hot wet kisses.
I don't like the idea that if someone does something seriously and with, the idea that they jump to laughing at it because they don't get it or it seems a bit
Philistines.
Yeah, I don't know. That's fucked. But never mind.
Well, some people don't want to see stuff that's really fucked up and depressing.
I fucking love that shit.
Well, me too. I sort of find it uplifting to see. And I, you know, I think he really articulates that feeling of just dark, hopelessness that everyone's experienced from time to time in their lives. He really articulates it so well in the film. Whether you want to spend 2 hours in the dark with that feeling, yeah, maybe it's not good for you, but it's good. It's an exciting film. There's some just really lovely little, almost Nicholas Rogue kind of esque.
You've said the magic words. Scenes.
Why?
Nicholas Rogue.
What?
That makes sense.
Those are the magic words.
Those are the magic words.
Well, I think there's just some little visual things and little very short set pieces that remind me of things I don't like now. And to some extent, Walkabout as well. It's a certain way of building atmosphere in a film that he's very good at. And I think Lars von Trier, in Antichrist, for my money, did something quite similar. Melancholia is different, but
have you seen the boss of it all?
No, is that his comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've not seen
it's
it.
Good.
I've
it's
heard
very
lots of good
funny
about it.
I mean, he's funny as fuck. I don't care what anyone says.
Uh-huh.
The Idiots is,
yes,
absolutely,
I've not seen that either.
Hilarious. But well, of course, that's also very, very awkward and upsetting.
Uh-huh.
What is your favourite post-apocalyptic
movie? Oh, look. Sorry, can we just give props to the fact that Dennis Hopper had lost his eye finally, and then he pulled off the bandage and we saw what was under there?
Yeah,
because you never bloody get to see what's under eye patches, apart from, I think, in the Goonies, but he's already a skeleton anyway.
Yeah, the camera zoomed in there. It was the moment.
Yeah, I quite like that they actually showed you what was under there for once.
Costner's thinning there on top.
He looks pissed. Go on, what were you asking me?
What's your favourite post-apocalyptic movie? Don't say The Road.
Well, I really love The Road.
Don't say The Road,
and
I
there's
said.
Just this middling response to it, and I don't get it. I haven't read the book, fine, but just as a film, I think it's wonderful. Other than The Road, I really like Idiocracy. No one else seems to like that.
I don't
think
know what, I tried watching that again.
Not really post-apocalyptic.
It's not that funny.
But it's a brilliant idea of a film. It's so cynical, and there's this natural humour to a lot of the lines, the way they're delivered. It's one of the few films that makes me shake uncontrollably with laughter almost all the way through.
I watched it when it first came out years ago.
Did
and
you
I tried,
in the cinema?
No, okay. It was on I think I got
it was on Channel 5. It came
out
on a Sunday afternoon,
came a
probably
lot, out a long time ago, but I tried it was on Film 4 again recently, about a month or so ago, and I know you and Sabotjoff had been talking about it. And I tried watching
Frank
it.
Sabotjoff.
And it's not fucking good at all.
It's
I found
amazing.
It, I found
Check
it
out Idiocracy. Mike Judge, starring Luke Wilson. Something.
Yeah,
it's
no
really good.
It's no Office Space.
It's wonderful. What else? Wall-E, sort of good, like you said. Gets a bit much in the end. All the best stuff's on Earth.
You a Mad Max fan?
Not really.
Have you seen it?
It's fine. Well, not for a long time, but I'm never particularly excited about it.
The first one's, you know, it's quite good and normal, but I like the ones, the Mad Maxes that everyone talks about, Mad Max 2 and Beyond Thunderdome, they're the ones that have done all the damage. They're the ones that have created films like Waterworld.
Right,
so
it's
really
like Terminator
overblown.
2, Terminator 3, as opposed to the original Terminator. You mean,
yeah.
Or like Aliens and Alien.
Yeah, the original Mad Max is really pared down, and
it's
kind of
cool.
Rusty cars, and there's a bit of leather and stuff, but it's really low budget film.
Uh-huh.
But it's like when you watch Mad Max 2, that's the one the Americans love,
right.
And it's got all the ludicrous S&M gear and
stupid
baddie who's like a big giant mongoloid. Am I allowed to say that?
Definitely not.
What do you say instead of that?
I don't know. I don't know what you mean. Is he?
One's like. He's like a monster baby.
He's a monster baby.
Like, you know,
what's
the,
a monster
the,
baby?
Like, sloth.
He's half what? Like he's half Mongolian and half droid. Is that what mongoloid is? And you better say yes to that. Is there any way you're going to be able to backpedal out of it?
What is? What does that? What does that? Where's it?
It's
come
a
from?
Rude term for people with Down syndrome.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
you look really worried there. I'm not making it up. I'm not fucking with you.
Yeah, I know. I know people say that about that, but then you can't. Can't you say that? Can't you reappropriate
well,
the word?
You can say what you like. I'm just now worried, you know, after last week about
can't you
what we say on this podcast.
Because people don't use it like that. Can't
someone's probably spitting their latte out across a fucking bus.
Can't
now.
You reappropriate the word?
Oh, well, this is like, now you're getting into when Ricky Gervais tried to do that because he used the word mong, which is. You know,
I see, I don't use that word.
And he said, I've repurposed the word. To some extent, he's right, but he did have to give in on that argument. Because loads of people with Down syndrome family were like.
I don't. Yeah. I didn't say Mong. I said Mongoloid.
Yeah, but that's where Mong comes from. Mong's just a shortened version.
Yeah,
of
but
Mongoloid.
People don't say like Tarantino uses it in one of his.
Ah, Tarantino, the charming, polite.
What would you call Sloth from the Goonies?
Right.
Right.
No, I just can't believe you're.
I'm asking. I don't know.
What
I want to know what
him?
The words mean.
All right, fine. Let's stop pretending to be in any way socially correct. What would I call? He's got learning difficulties.
That was amazing. I kind of made this space where we have to negotiate language.
That's quite fun.
I think the idea, like, it's troubling, peeling as I peel the label worriedly from my beard. Like,
you just ripped all your clothes in half.
The idea that we should be able to negotiate and talk about the words we use. Like, oh, don't say that word ever. So we'll. Let's say at least have a discussion about. I don't want to use that word, but I don't even know. Like, we should be able to talk about it, shouldn't we?
You can talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you were trying to use it to talk about Mad Max.
I was trying to paint a picture.
Okay, fine.
The Gimp guy who's
Gimp
love.
Is fine. Gimp is fine.
Oh, you see, Gimp's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you're
I don't know why. I don't really know what it means, but Gimp is okay.
It's interesting. I guess. Is it the difference between someone who uses language without thinking about it? I think there is a difference between that. It's like if you kind of say a word and you're trying to interrogate it as you say it, as opposed to someone who's thoughtlessly kind of projecting and putting out kind of stereotypes and negative words.
Yeah,
there is a difference there, isn't
there? Of course, yeah, yeah. I'm
but then
sort of just suggesting that you were doing the latter.
Yeah, but then there's no space in
so that. That's the worst glass eye I've ever seen.
But there's no
I suppose it's meant to be, isn't it?
But where's the space in our kind of in the discourse to have these arguments?
Where?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, I guess on a really, really shoddily put together film podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what we do. We've got freedom. It won't be like this when we go stratospheric. And we're making $1 million an episode for doing this. We'll be censored. You know, you'll have to start saying you like Jonathan Ross and stuff. That's what it's going to be for now. Don't worry about it. We can do what we want. These are the punk years. Season one goes on and on. But out of the canon.
We're telling it like it. Well, I think, you know, I guess I wrestle with these problems.
Well, good. As you should. I think that... probably going to make a lot of our listeners very happy, the idea of you wrestling with these things, because it shows you've got a heart.
I remember, you know, having arguments when I was a younger man.
No.
And this was when right in the trend was to use gay as a pejorative.
Yes.
that's
gone out of fashion.
Well, I mean, in my circles it has, and I kind of think it has. It's kind of frowned, and it, rightfully so. And I, for ages, when I was a young man, I didn't really think about it. I didn't really, again, I thought I was like Ricky Gervais when I was 20, and I thought, oh no, it doesn't mean that, it just means bad.
Yes.
Kevin Smith said the same thing.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I did a human rights degree, I learned better, and I realised that's not cool.
Uh-huh. sure. I know, we're all guilty to some extent of those things. As societies are, we have to move on. I mean, for ages, the N-word was acceptable in normal society, even if you weren't particularly racist. That was a perfectly acceptable way to talk about people. But the connotations that it gets over time, you know, mean that we have to readdress how we look at that.
Yeah, it's almost as if words have power.
Yeah, well, that they do. I don't know why we're talking about this. But
my fault.
Well, I know how we got onto it. It's not got much to do with Waterworld. Is that Tom Waits? No.
I called a baddie from a film a bad word.
You did. So what are some of your other favourite post-apocalyptic films? Dark City, that you made me watch the other day.
Would you class that as
almost. It's in the vein. That is wonderful. Adam begged me to watch that. He insisted, and I did. And, oh, man, it's The Matrix, but just all the good things about The Matrix. And... none of the bad things. It's really good. It's really, really good thriller. It's not what you expect. And it's sort of... it's in this really ambiguous space, isn't it? It's a wonderful, wonderful film. definitely yeah. check it out. Five Hot Wet Kisses.
Rufus Sewell's in it.
It's yes. excellent.
And it came out before The Matrix, and it's been bafflingly ignored.
Yeah. Well, it's strange. There are a lot of similarities, just stylistically as well, let alone thematically, with The Matrix. But you said that they'd already started making The Matrix, so that's purely a coincidence. But it's very strange when you watch it. There's very similar.
I mean, it was a year after, so I wouldn't want to kind of say, oh, The Matrix next stuff on it. The little girl is called Enola.
Yeah. Reference to the...
Sweet Enola Gay,
I'm on a roller gay.
An anagram of alone.
Oh, no, the Enola Gay was the name of the plane that dropped the first atom bomb, wasn't
it? Yeah, that as well. I think it's an anagram of alone.
Okay, but she's not alone.
Initially, Kevin Costner, look at him, he's furious with the little girl.
Don't touch anything of mine. I drew it for you. I don't want to reach out to you, kid.
I wonder if he learns to love her.
Yeah, you thought
I didn't like where she stuck that bit of chalk. That's not appropriate. You wouldn't get away with that now, would you?
Don't overthink. You see the
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Don't overthink do these that. Things.
Well, we must. It's uncomfortable.
What? Because modern society's become so fearful.
I don't want to see a 7-year-old girl retrieving a piece of chalk from the front of her trousers. Close up.
Well,
thank you.
That's the
it's
name
not
of
essential
my
to the plot.
I do want to see.
.com, yeah.
That's
all there is.
Tell you what, man, it's a pretty niche site, but boy, does it get the numbers.
See, again, careful. Look, didn't you talk about this before? Like, guys, lonely guys who love a plant?
No. Is that
no? Well, think about it. I watched Hot Fuzz the other day,
yeah.
and they play that up. I've watched it again. I've obviously seen Hot Fuzz several times, but they play that up in that, doesn't he? As that Japanese peace lily.
Yeah, yeah.
And Leon, he has a plant. Kevin Costner's got his little lime tree. And there's something else as well that's eluding me at the moment. Where's that come from? Men and plants.
It's either a plant or it's a pet. It's the loner, but it's basically showing the possibility that he could care for something.
Ah.
And when he actually cares for something, we're like, but he's never shown anything. Oh, no, wait, he has. He cared for that plant. Yeah. Oh, I understand. It's not come out of the blue.
The plant is, he did just throw a child into the sea in front of her mother. Oh, it's not her mother, is it?
No.
Her adoptive mother.
Never mind. But yeah, that's the thing. This is one of these lazy devices. Someone's read that script and said, hang on a sec. I don't buy this character just kind of becoming nice. Can we show it some way? How can we show it? Well, he's on a boat on his own. Can we have a cat?
Cat. He'd eat the cat. Cats, fish, water.
Can we make him... can we kind of have like an imaginary friend?
He should have had a pet dolphin. That would be amazing. It would be like Han and Chewie. What do you think? Are we going to take you aboard? That's a horrible thing to say, you piece of shit!
I bet...
I'm sorry, he's a racist.
I bet a pet dolphin was in some script at some point.
Yeah.
And they were like, do you know what, we can't afford...
And then Ron Howard rang him up and said, you stay away from dolphins, they're my thing.
Oh, brilliant. We've already...
They would do that now, wouldn't they? That would be the first thing you do, you'd have a pet dolphin.
Yeah, that kind of he pops up and swims alongside, but then he disappears, and then he's the Deus Ex Machina.
That feels so of the time now, but somehow it wasn't a 90s thing. Strange. I wonder why that is.
I just don't have the money for it.
Can we afford CGI? Is that it?
Also, it's like we've spent all the money on that stupid big flotilla. Can we afford a dolphin? Nah.
So we'll just have a lime tree instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose there's something, you know, about
that lime
plants
tree.
That represent something, isn't there?
I mean, I know you're...
Slowly growing.
I know you're a nice, caring human being.
Thank you very much.
I don't need to see you tending to a lime tree.
It would be nice if you showed a bit of an interest in my lime tree. I mean, I have asked you to, you know,
it's fucking
help
pathetic.
Me prune him. But
look, I've had that aspidistra over there for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And that's...
You've kept it flying.
Yeah, I've kept it flying. That's, you know... That's what it was got for me, because it was one of my favourite books.
Oh,
Chloe bought that for me.
Heart.
She said,
And then, you know,
well, whatever happened to Chloe?
I don't know. She left. She never came back.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I tend. You don't have to water an aspidistra.
Brilliant.
That's how easy it is perfect. To keep.
It's the perfect wife plant. Sure.
It's nice. I'd recommend anyone get an aspidistra.
So what you're saying is you're kind of like a lazy version of Kevin Costner in Waterworld.
Exactly.
And you don't even have to live on a raft. You can live in the nice
place. I don't have to recycle my wee-wee and drink it.
Don't have to.
No, but...
We can try it.
Just like
to. We won't try it.
No.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah, I mean, this is quite tedious, isn't it?
Again, it's been another half an hour.
It's just smokers. There's always smokers coming back.
This smacks of someone saying nothing. They've been talking on the boat for 20 minutes. Can we have something happening? And now the plane is flying around. And there's a shootout.
Groaning there was. Yeah, I don't know. I think they just needed to come up with more interesting places for the characters to go than just on the fucking sea.
Well, that's the problem.
I know that that's...
They've painted themselves into a watery corner.
Yeah.
And they're flapping around at the gills.
That's why it's so cool when they go underneath. It sort of validates the concept.
Well,
it's
I'm
like,
excited.
Yeah, well, look, you have to understand that this is the cost of the devastation of Earth.
Yeah, I can't remember that bit. So I'm
oh, that's great.
You've
that's
made
great.
Me look forward to
it's
it.
It's really, really cool. It doesn't come for a while, though. Probably not for another like, 2 hours.
Well, no, there's got... To, you know there's a director's cut of this.
Is there?
Yeah.
Why? Who cares?
Well,
who would want to see that?
Well, people who love Waterworld.
And this ain't it, is it? Because we're streaming it on Netflix.
Yeah, streaming it on... I'd got the month free on Netflix. I'd give them a shout-out.
Yeah.
Although...
if they want to, you know... Hook us up with anything else for promoting them on this show.
It's 3 months Netflix.
Only fair enough, really, isn't it?
Well, I had that Ween just lying there. I hadn't played it for ages. And then I hadn't hooked it up to the internet. And I thought, do you know what? I want to play Super Mario Galaxy again.
Well, why not?
And I did.
Is that a good game?
Oh, it's excellent. Well, Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Right.
Marvellous game. But then I also thought, well, let me hook it up to my internet and I can get streaming Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is. They got, you know, lots of love. No. This will genuinely look like an advert.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm not entirely convinced by their catalogue, their back catalogue of films. But
me neither. But then I suppose that's what it was like going into Blockbuster and what have you back in the day. Although... Lest we forget your really good independent video shots. There was one in Oxford, actually, where I done come from. I forget what... Videodrome, I think it was called.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. I think that's what it was called. I could be totally wrong, but it was a really good like indie... Hopefully it's still going. If you live in Oxford, go to it. It's on the Cowley Road. And they just... Yeah, they had this amazing selection of like lovingly selected... I mean, when it started, it was obviously VHS, but they had DVDs as well. But really good foreign cinema, cult films, just things you don't normally find in video shops. So that's quite cool, isn't it? It would be nice to have a Netflix, you know, like that. Like Netflix Indie or something.
Well, that's the thing, is that Kevin Costner's just cut off Gene Triplehorn's hair.
It's a bit unnecessary.
And I don't understand why he did that. Like, she's touched his boat. But of all the decisions, they've made all these rubbish decisions, and this is obviously like the writer's gone, oh, this is really important to the character.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Makes him look like a douchebag.
Yeah.
You may as well, like, it was the equivalent of maybe him punching her in the face, and like, oh, no, that's too much. Let's just have him cut off her hair.
Well, I suppose it's, you know, he's like the severe guy that you want to like you because he's so severe. Bit worried that the microphone's moved a bit further back.
Yeah, we're going to get some sound level problems.
Probably.
How should we, what should we do?
I don't know.
How can we look?
Stop leaning back so much.
Alright, I'll what if it's just sets there?
Yeah, alright. That's better.
Well, you need, because you're always quieter on these than me.
Well, yeah, I don't know why, because I talk louder than you.
I think I talk louder than you, that's because I, look, I'm closer and you're more... Loush.
No, I'm nearer than you.
You're more loush.
Anyway,
what were we talking about?
I don't know, but Dennis Hopper just said he's a wily one, that ichthy demon. Brilliant. Is that the normal slang term?
Oh yeah, when we were talking about Netflix. I kind of think I could get a job at Netflix. I've said this before we started recording.
Yeah.
And tell them like what films to kind of.
Oh my god, that was Jack Black. Weird.
Oh yeah, of course.
The young Jack Black.
I want to announce the job I want.
Yeah, no, go for it. Sorry.
Like I could, because on the Wii, for example, there's no interface. There is an interface to search, but you wouldn't be. Who's going to do that? It does it by genre, and it just, you have the thumbnails of the films it's selected.
Yeah.
And some of the films you just think, why have they put this one up front?
Uh-huh.
I would know every genre, but you know, I'd know which ones to put. Sure. Every film that anyone would want to watch.
Well, you say that. I mean, I did remind you of that argument we had about sci-fi, so that could get confusing. But
what? Because I've refused to put Star Trek in sci-fi.
Well, I would totally go to the Adam Richmond online video rental service.
This baddie wants to buy the women.
Who doesn't? But what's that? He's got dirt.
Oh, it's a map. It's a map to the hidden land.
Well, we've already got a map.
But the thing is, right? How are they? What's so we need a?
Oh, just paper.
Oh, so the kick.
I remember him. He's got an Irish accent. Hasn't he?
Paper. That's what he said.
Have you seen any paper?
Yeah.
Look at it. Smell it. Paper.
That guy's not Irish.
They've been saving it.
But why would they write paper?
Because you can write on it. He just punched her again.
Very sexist.
Do they want us to like him or not? Is what you got to ask yourself.
I guess
you don't like him.
Is this a kind of half-assed attempt to make him seem edgy and manly?
I don't know. Do you think Hollywood was more misogynistic in the 90s? It's like, of course you like him. He's the male lead. Whereas now they may be a bit like, all right, we have to show that he's a good guy as well as handsome and strong. Back then, it's like, yeah, well, he's a mean guy, but you still love him, right?
Oh, God, I mean, they've made this guy, he's talking to a paedophile.
Yeah.
He wants 45 minutes with the little girl. Imagine that, would this be in a modern day film?
Well, I think that's kind of interesting, I quite like it.
But it's obviously a trick. He's not actually selling the little girl to that pedo.
Yeah. But still. It's like, it's an interesting concept to throw into a film like this. I quite like that they went there.
But this, yeah, do you think this is brave? Like, this is supposed to be a switcheroo at some point. Do you think, are you impressed that they introduced the notion that a scumbag would want
Yeah, because it feels realistic. There probably would be people like that. See pirates in the future. You know.
What, raping 11-year-olds?
Yeah,
like, this is what I.
That's what people do in times of war.
They don't. Well, not. This is why.
Not you.
Not anyone.
Well,
like with
no,
that
do,
from now,
do.
The world goes shit to shit. We're not going to suddenly start bartering to fuck 11-year-olds.
Well, like Vietnam, even World War II, all those things. People did stuff like that. They did it. Rank. It's been a while for me now.
I mean, tonally, this is all over the shop.
Yeah.
I've got very big problems with this.
Yeah. Well, he gets his comeuppance.
Yes, but why are they making the audience feel like this?
To show you how desperate everyone is.
But is this a phony moment of jeopardy?
No, I think it's fair enough. I think it's like in the apocalypse, we all lose our sense of self and morality. There's no need to be moralistic anymore. You have to just do what you want to do, and that's kind of what The Road obviously does much, much more intelligently.
I think they want to have their cake and eat it in this film. They want to introduce that kind of, like, this is the one guy they're going to make all the perversions of post-apocalyptic world, and they're going to put it into this guy.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
And play out in this scene.
Yeah. Well, he's a white guy with dreadlocks. You know he's no good. I'm sorry, if you're listening to this and you're a white guy with dreadlocks, then
you're probably
fuck
a
off. Yeah. Don't go on any boats.
Why do they think this is just the why do they think that this is what humanity becomes?
Well, because that's what we all want from our sort of post-apocalyptic tales, don't we? We want to see the horror. We get somehow a thrill, the horror that's underneath
waiting to leap out. They're there, but for the grace of God, go we
but here,
as a species.
But here, morally, this guy, the guy has, this kind of pedo guy, has come onto Kevin Costner's boat to trade. And Kevin Costner said to him, I'll have some of your paper if you can have sex with both Gene Triplehorn and this young girl.
Yeah.
And Kevin Costner said yes. He's agreed to it.
Yeah.
Right? And then
where's me board?
The pedo has gone down to the bottom of the hull to make good on the deal that Kevin Costner's made.
Yeah.
Right? And then Kevin Costner has gone down there and then he's gone, hang on a second, mate, I'm going to kill you. So like,
why didn't he just kill him in the first place?
Like, he could have just said, no deal, I don't agree to that. So he's basically just justified himself to kill this guy for the audience.
Good point.
It's completely...
That's not very... That's not cool, is it?
It's completely phony, because he's made... He's only... He put the kid and the Gene Triplehorn in that position in the first place by selling them.
Well, maybe he's trying to kill two birds with one stone, no pun intended, making them feel like, look, I'm looking out for you, and in the blink of an eye, I could, you know, put you guys in a really fucking nasty situation, so show me some respect.
If he was doing that, that would be amazing, but that film is not going for that level of nuance.
Okay. Maybe not.
That's amazing. That's
well, no, it's... It's a way of looking at it, but again, they don't tell you. He never says anything really in this film. He doesn't seem very likable at this point. I'm sick of him. I mean, do we ever find out any of his backstory? I don't think we do we?
No, he's just... Yeah. That's the thing, he's the archetypal loner.
Yeah. And well, of course, back then they didn't... No, there was no such thing as origins, was there?
back in those days?
Yeah, no, but...
How do you mean?
Well, back then you just have a film like Snake Plissken, or... You know, you'd have a character in a film... by the way, that's another great poster.
Escape from New York.
So good.
Oh, that tell soundtrack. You what. Oh.
Wonderful stuff. And the special effects, which they had to do on the budget. Very interesting if you read up about how they did those. And they look wonderful. I think, yeah. Sorry, what was I saying? Yeah, you get characters like that, that they're just this guy, and you just go with them. And the film starts, and you're just rolling with it. Now, obviously, there's more, you know, with the origin-based things.
I mean,
it's like a shortcut to making you care about the character, isn't it? To see what happened when they were younger. This was still the era when it's like, well, it doesn't matter where he came from. You've got gills, and he's a loner.
And it's like,
whoa, that was CGI.
Where's that come from?
I forgot about this. The mega shark, ladies and gentlemen. Big mutant shark. They're not really showing you any of it. A la Jaws. Oh, and then meat sizzling. That's rubbish, isn't
it? That's the best jump cut I've ever seen.
That's rubbish. That's like, they did the same thing in the beach. Really annoying.
I don't mind, I like the idea that you have a guy and he just comes out of nowhere. They did it in Jack Reacher that we saw together.
Yes.
And then you see the character, what he do, you see him, who he is, by what he does and how he acts.
Yeah.
That's called script writing.
Ah, yes. And good point.
That's nice. It's fine. I don't need to know whether mummy made him a packed lunch or daddy never loved him.
So I thought you were referring to the mummy then for a second.
The mummy never made me a packed lunch.
I don't know whether the mummy made him a rapist.
I don't think that's necessary. I like being thrown into a story, and I like not knowing everything about a character. That's good, but. At the minute, this is just the Kevin Costner show.
Yes.
Who is this guy? I don't, you know.
Well, he's just ate a shark's eyeball. To
that was not a
kids.
Shark. That was like a weird sea monster beast.
Webbed feet.
Oh, look, they're eating together and he's bonding with them. The little kid can't swim at the minute. I'm imagining at some point it's important that she swims.
I guess so. Or maybe it just signifies that she's a landlady. Sorry.
Landlady.
I didn't even know I was saying that. Landlady.
Where's your rent?
Where's your rent? She owns property in the Flotilla City. people say I was weird. Yes, they do, Tina. Wonderful actress. I wonder why she's not in more stuff. Because she's so great in Napoleon Dynamite. She was made for that role.
They've created this stuttering half-English... like kind of sing-song way that people talk
because it's the future. Yeah. But they haven't committed to it. It's completely pathetic because they need to speak English.
Yeah,
for
but
the audience.
It's like Gangs of New York where everyone complains that the accents are dodgy, and it's like, no, that's probably how it was back then. The accents were dodgy because everyone was coming from different places.
But
that's all right. I can buy into that.
But just have them speak normal then. Don't.
No,
half
no.
And half
no,
it.
It's nice that they made the effort. That's cool. I'm down with that. But yeah.
No, I've got big problems with it. Cloud Atlas.
Oh, don't talk to me about
example.
Cloud Atlas.
They have got the whole futuristic setting with Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. Tom Hanks. He speaks him and his people in the future. They've got these kind of a similar kind of aesthetic actually. With
yeah.
The hippie,
absolutely
dirty
good point.
Clothes.
Yeah.
But at least his character, he talks complete gibberish, like sing song gibberish.
Yeah.
And you really have to listen to understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
They commit.
Well, that's because that's taken from the novel, though, isn't it?
No, but at least they commit to it.
Yeah.
They didn't bottle it and go, "Oh, let's can we kind of he needs can we subtitle it or something?" But you don't sometimes know what he's saying because language has changed. But this, they kind of sometimes they leave out a verb or
well,
a fucking pronoun.
Clearly, they could have pushed a lot of these things more. You know, there are some potentially interesting ideas in this film. There's just not much to it, and it doesn't warrant it. The length that it is. All of this stuff is now. We've just been on a boat for ages. The shark thing was over in about a second.
Sorry. Nice.
Little hiccup.
Captain had a hiccup. He's been boozing.
I only had a beer. Yeah. You've thrown me off there a bit.
Sorry.
No, it's my fault.
No.
I got it. Yeah, they should have developed it more. I guess I'm seeing. But again, all of these criticisms, I could say these about loads of films from the time that people consider, you know, good and successful.
What would you say? Like, he's swimming with the child now. We've established he's created a bond. And at some point now, the baddie is going to take the thing that he's now learned to love away from him.
One would think
it's
that,
so
yes.
Paint by numbers.
Yeah.
So what is the point? And it's an hour and 15 minutes in. Why has it taken this long?
Yeah. Well, this is just bad editing.
What would you do with this? What would you do with this setup? Waterworld. Tell me a story.
At what stage?
At any stage, like from the beginning. There's a water world. What's the story?
I don't know. I think all the pieces are there, but just make more of a world, right? Whatever it is.
More of the water.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're going to have to come up with, if it's floating cities, then fine, but show me more of the world. Have more reason to give a shit about the characters. Something interesting to look at. Like I say, that shark was cool, but it was over so quickly.
That should be the whole
Probably
thing.
Because they didn't want to step on Jaws' toes. But
well,
fuck it, they didn't invent sharks.
Jaws hasn't got toes.
Oh, alright, Jaws' flippers. Right, this is turning into like the Mark Kermode fucking Simon Mayo show again.
Oh, don't call me Simon Mayo.
Oh, should I say? No, I'm Simon Mayo. That's just depressing.
Sorry.
They were probably scared about stepping on Jaws' toes. Or should I say Jaws' flippers? Toes! Well, that's not who we are.
Oh, that's made me giggle. There's lots of slow-mo now. They're swimming, they're bonding. And
yeah, this looks like Spring Breakers, this bit, actually.
Oh, insipid.
Why does she look so worried?
She's getting turned on.
Oh,
she's
knew it.
She's
saying, it does look a bit weird.
Again, it's like, oh, if you want to be...
Really weird.
You can be a strong man, and as soon as you start caring for a kid, the woman in the story is going to go, oh, who cares what
she's going to love it.
Oh, open up the ovaries.
Interesting.
Sex is bullshit.
Yeah, see, look, there you go, another little floating city. All right, I kind of understand why people have got a problem with this film, but I think it's quite, you know, it's worth watching. You know, I'm glad we've done this.
Do you know what? There's an hour more of film to go.
I know.
Right.
And we know what happens.
And this
you
film,
summed it up pretty
this
well.
Now, what should be happening is the third act. It should be.
Yeah.
It should be the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It should be
the
action.
Whole middle act should have been the getting to know each other and him. Like, we should have seen Under the Water already for a start.
But yeah, it's like, I mean, how can you make a film so flabby?
I don't know.
Is it because the only way you can justify it is because they thought we've spent 200 million on this and we want to get all our money's worth.
Well, maybe they thought, like, look, the more time we spend, the more people are going to be invested in these characters and the story. But that doesn't work. In fact, you don't need to spend a lot of time doing that. You just need to show the right things. You can deal with that stuff, actually. Well, for Jeff Gleeser's taste, pretty quickly. I'll invest in a character if you just give me a couple of things. Two 30-second scenes that make me give a shit. And then I'm like, yeah, there. I'm there. I want to see what happens to this guy. I'm interested.
Yeah, that's good.
There's none of that in this. It's just like, if you spend loads of time on that boat with it. Or maybe you're meant to sympathise with what it feels like to just be trapped. Like, it's boring for them, so it has to be boring for the audience. But,
yeah.
This is all very weird. And I sort of don't buy it as well. I don't buy that they'd have petrol for all these cars and jet skis.
Well, that's the thing. They're called smokers. They've got this giant ship with loads of oil on.
It's not going to last, is it?
The beginning was interminable. They had the whole kind of side issue with the fact that you had gills, and that kind of slowed things down. And then they've been on that boat for about 40 minutes, and only now again are they meeting the baddies that we saw at the start.
The baddies who were underwater for 10 minutes and hiding. For no reason.
The ocean is massive. It's a water world.
It is a water world.
So why? And they've got Uzis and it's
all the elements don't quite fit together. Basically, it's trying to go in like three different directions at once, and then it ends up being something totally different. But
why did we like this film when it came out?
I don't know. It's just I like entertaining blockbusters, and at least they were trying to do something different. And I think they fulfilled that. What else came out around this time that was like that? I mean, it's sort of like a neo, kind of gothic cross between Peter Pan and Mad Max or something. Like, it's interesting, I'm all for that. I'm all for creativity in Hollywood. I want more of it. So I feel, you know, it would be unfair to slag this film off too much.
But there's no, I didn't see much. I've seen Mad Max. Mad Max works because it's on land.
They didn't force the whole thing to be set on the sea.
Yeah.
Mind you, Life of Pi, though, we didn't mention that earlier. That's set on the sea. And that's gripping, thrilling stuff. When they get on land that it gets annoying.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
But all the stuff on the sea I said before was
really
wonderful.
He can tell a story. On the ocean.
Ang Lee can tell an ocean story.
Kevin Reynolds.
Not so much a Hulk one.
He can't.
Mm. Well, we've been going on for quite a while now.
Oh, so should we wrap it up?
Probably. I mean,
yeah.
Unless you want to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess there's nothing. I mean, this is where all the action happens.
But what's to say about the action? I mean, we're not going to recount what's happening on screen.
You're happy that you've seen the first hour and 15 minutes of Waterworld again, and you know now you don't need to watch any of it.
I think we've covered Waterworld. I don't know to what end or merit, but you know, I'm sort of glad we talked about it. I like doing this. I want to do it more.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Waterworld. I mean, you suggested it is your idea to actually podcast about it. It's a perfect choice of film to do this kind of thing about.
Yeah,
maybe better than Minority Report, although that was also a lot of fun. But yeah. I don't know, man.
Well, we go out on a Costner's wounded. Peril is there. He's got shells for earrings.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, why does he? Oh, I suppose he hasn't grown up knowing what people dress like. But why the stripy trousers? Why the shell earrings? That doesn't make him seem hard.
Yeah, it's baffling, isn't it? It's a baffling film.
I love the way in the subtitles that they've made dryland one word. That's sort of how they pronounce it. Dryland. Dryland. Eh? Isn't it? That's probably what's that. That's where your hoodies don't want to go. Dryland, don't they?
They'd call it, utopia. They give it a word that exists and they call it.
No, dry land. What's the opposite of dry land? Water world. What's the opposite of water world? Dry land.
Dry world. It's not called wet world. The opposite of water world is earth world.
World world.
Well, well.
Mm. I don't know. I'll tell you what. Yeah. There are things about this film that I think are quite interesting, actually. Watching it with my fully formed, as much as it'll ever be, adult brain. But, yeah, fair enough. I'm much more looking forward to seeing Kevin Costner in The Man of Steel. I hope he's in a few more things before he throws a towel in.
I meant
retirement-wise, in case he thinks I'm going to kick the bucket, because he's still Australian. No, well, he really hasn't aged.
Throw the towel in doesn't mean kick the bucket. No, I suddenly thought
people might
listeners, if you don't know the difference between throw the towel in,
yeah,
and
good
the
point,
bucket,
listeners.
You
no,
really
maybe
need
myself.
To suck it up.
Well, that's
closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts. I can't believe I enjoyed this film when I watched it on my mind. It's so slow, but it's made me think of all sorts.
Yeah. So this is it. This is the best bit now. Going down to see
them. Well, let's not spoil the. Let's not waste the good thoughts on the listener.
Absolutely. How many hot wet kisses would you give it?
1.5.
Really? I think I'd give it more like 2.5.
That's very kind.
And that even feels a bit mean. But let's be honest. Not everything can have a good rating. Cool. Well, if there are no further,
follow us at. Out of the Canon and visit us on Tumblr at outofthecanon.tumblr.com.
Yes.
Please get in touch. And
tweet us your questions. We want to hear them and answer them. And
look forward to another, again, a chat, not a commentary. These are always chats.
Yeah, we'll do more of these.
We're gonna do probably scene by scenes. That's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
That a good friend Gion had, we'll kind of take a film. And we'll break it down into the key scenes and maybe use them as jumping off points for conversation. So that might happen.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, see you on the next episode.
Yeah, cool. All right, I've been Jeff Gleese,
and I've been Adam.
Goodbye.
Let's carry on watching it.